Birkenhead Bacon Curers presents The Ken Dodd Show, a bumper bundle of blathering balderdash, baromic backwardization, and valley bintle bamboozling, causing bewildered cries of baronial balloonage!
Baronial balloonage!
And now meet the cause of all this bafflement with his blooming big boots and bushy bonce, Ken Dodd!
Thank you. Ha ha! Bushy bonce, have I? Bushy bonce. I'll have you know, Miss Pajamas, I'm getting my hair cut next week. Tuesday and Wednesday, the barber said. Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just to prove to you that we are capable of raising our standards on this show, I'd like to do some poetry for you. I would, Mrs. I'd like to do some poetry. And this is Portuguese poetry. Yes, very colourful Portuguese Portugal. Portuguese. Very colourful Portuguese poetry from Portugal. Jose stood on the burning deck. The flames, they drove him crackers. They burnt his coat and singed his hat and blistered his maracas. Next, we have one of the most unusual recordings of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bring back the cat!
What's that bit? Oh, I. Yes. It's a recording captured from a secret agent of General de Gaulle in the bath. Do you know what I think I'll do now? I think I'll have a read of my library book. And it's not half exciting, this library book. It's called Sybil of the Upper Sixth. I'll read some of it to you. 12 girls from the fifth went up into the sixth during a chemistry lesson. Later, as Sybil ran onto the hockey pitch, a deafening cheer went up. Sybil blushed. I'm always forgetting things, she thought. After the game, she had marks down her legs. It was always the same when they played St. Spencer's. When Sybil returned to her study, there was a telegram boy waiting for her. All that night, sobbing could be heard from Sybil's room. Eventually, Miss Frith broke the door down and let the telegram boy out. How dare you let the school down like this, said Miss Frith, her moustache bristling. And now, Mr. John Hamish Robbie Duncan Flora Laurie will recite for us one of the most beautiful of all Scottish poems. Mr. Laurie.
Thank you. Oh, gloch and spray yon gannach sprig, to gan ye on the muckle, till porridge o' hoth like and fen, to make your auntie chuckle.
Beautiful.
Oh, spray the muck right up the gloom.
Yes, yes,
and
thank you.
Grit yon biddocks on
get
the
off!
Move. Good, all this trouble, starching my kilt and all. Sorry, it's the haggis.
Ladies and gentlemen, now we have the... Hello? Okay, that was Percy Edwards. He wants me to thank the lady in Salisbury who sent him a bone last week.
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that the world duration record for yodeling is held by a Hampshire squire who accidentally sat on the wrong end of his shooting stick?
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that in order to encourage the rhubarb crop, some Norfolk farmers are donning kilts, painting their legs red, and standing upside down in the fields?
Well, what do you know?
I know that it's time for me to introduce our guests from the pop scene, and we're delighted to welcome the record-breaking, record-making new faces.
Oh, mine. You're gonna say you love me too.
Hello, all you do-it-yourself maniacs. This is your old do-it-yourself chum, Andy L. Mann. Now, I suppose a lot of you are saying to yourselves, why the L, Andy? I know my dear lady wife does. Very often. As a matter of fact, my dear lady wife, she's spending a day on the river with her mother. She asked me if I knew of a quiet place, and I suggested the Amazon. No, I mean, she could have a ride on a crocodile. Now this week, I'm not odd jobbing because with the wife being away, I'm in the kitchen cooking myself a bit of dinner. And I fancy something different, you know, one of them foreign dishes like Hungarian galoshes. Or even a bird's nest butty. Now what about a little pudding? Oh, the little pudding's arrived. Oh, it's the little lad from next door, Norman. Norman Noel. Ooh, look at him, what a clock. Who did that to your face, Norman?
Did what, Mr. Man?
Oh, it's supposed to be like that, is it? Oh. Now, run along, Norman, because I want a bit of privacy, because I'm going to display my culinary arts. And I can't do that while you're here, can I?
I'll cook the meal for you. I'm well-versed in the arts of cooking.
You'll cook the meal? Oh, no thank you, funny Craddock. Here, what I'm going to cook is a little bit above you.
I dressed a crab this morning.
And very smart you look too, Norman. Norman, sunshine, you must be very cold standing there. Come and sit in the oven for half an hour. I know how to cook, Norman. Just keep quiet, please. Now then, let me get on with me task.
I'm preparing beef curry.
I'm getting me
an
task.
An experienced chef de cuisine would use wash
No, rice. Norman, would you, listen, sunshine, would you like a little drink? I think there is some paraffin left in the can. Will you let me do it my way? Oh, that's lovely, that is. Oh, look at that. Now, half a cup of pepper, 1 pint of prune juice.
I don't wish to appear rude.
Oh, shut up, Norman. 12 eggs, 6 ounces of nutmeg. Oh, lovely. That looks beautiful, that. Oh, look at the frother. I'll just taste it. Norman, sunshine, I wonder if you're not too busy. I wonder if you'd mind nipping around to the corner, get me 6 pence of the chips and a fish. I'm starving. I can't stand it.
More beef stock gravy, Philip?
No, thank you, Katie, dear. I don't think so. Not with the blancmange.
Heavens above, how do you manage to keep him so energetic and playful?
Yes, he is a lively little chap, isn't he?
Just look at him rolling on his back and kicking his legs up. He obviously wants his tummy tickled.
Yes, I know. Come on, Grandad, get up.
Spoil sport.
You know, dear, this one coat Dudlocks really is a good paint.
Yes, dear.
It spreads so evenly with a good hard gloss.
Yes, dear.
I'm really pleased with it. Turn around and I'll do your other leg.
Yes,
dear. Prior to opening in the West End, the actors in a new mystery thriller play are being rehearsed by the producer. Yes,
Right, everyone.
Places, please. Come along, children. We're late. Simon.
Yes, no.
Well, Simon, please don't leave Jessica waiting too long for that cue line, will you? Because last time she was holding that piano for 3/4 of an hour. How's the throat this morning, Naomi, love?
No, it's not much better.
Do your best, dear. Right, everybody. Places, please. Act one, scene one. Yes. As on the night.
Yes.
Beryl, kiss me.
Oh, darling, hold me tight.
Will you stop that, Simon and Beryl, and let's get on with the play? Courtney. Now, Courtney, here, you see her. You enter the room and you see the colonel lying on the rug with a knife in his back.
Right,
off you go. As on the night, off you go.
No!
No, not quite right, Courtney. No, might I make a suggestion? Just a suggestion. I mean, for what it's worth. I just thought I'd throw it in. Could you try a Welsh accent?
Of course.
That's right. Once more, then. As on the night.
No!
Yes. No, well, that's more of a mid-Welsh accent, isn't it, Courtney? I mean, could you try a southern Welsh accent this time?
Course.
Right, okay. Places, everybody. Okay. All the little uncles, all the little aunties, right. Everybody, as on the night. Thank you. Off you go.
No.
Perfect. Keep going.
You swine. So this is your little game. 15 years of marriage means nothing to you.
Oh, but darling, I...
Do you see this gun? I'm going to kill you.
I say, which scene is this in?
It's not in the play, darling. That is his wife. She's been looking for him for years.
No.
Yes! And this is the month when the Squire of Knotty Ash is kept very busy doing the half-yearly accounts for all the various Knotty Ash industries.
Two from five. Yes, that's... Now, that's 456. Take away 5%. 2 bob buck in the empties, and there's a tenner to come from the 4:30 at Haydock. Ooh. Do you realise, ladies and gentlemen... Now, there's a bit of a shock here. Do you realise our defence bill has gone up by 11 and 9/8? I'll have to look into this. Mick? Hey there, Michael.
Did you call me, Your Honour? Oh, you darling man.
Mick, the defence bill has gone up this year. How's that?
Well, you see, Your Grace, your gaffership, your tinginess, we've decided to arm all our troops with the very latest tickling sticks. The latest tickling sticks. Long-range tickling sticks, each one able to cause a... from a range of 18 feet, so we have.
Excellent, Mick. Now, Nigel Ponsonby Smallpiece, the general manager of the Jambutty Mines. What is your report on the past year's trading figures?
Well, actually, it couldn't be better, old fruit. 500 gallons of raspberry jam exported overseas.
First class. Is the manager of the snuff quarry present?
Choo! I'm here, Squire.
What are the snuff figures like, Adam?
Very, very good, my beauty. We have doubled our output since we got Superintendent Lockhart's order. And I might say we've had a snuff inquiry from a Miss Judith Charnas. She be a little beauty.
First class.
First class.
Well, I think you've all worked very, very hard, so I'm going to treat you all to the finest little Diddy dinner that money can buy. Let's go, Diddy men.
Presenting the D.H. Dodd Playhouse. This week, a one-act play which illustrates the mastery that D.H. Dodd holds in the field of earthy human life. Ladies and gentlemen, The Homecoming by D.H. Dodd.
Jed, you come back.
Hi, Alice. I've come back.
It's been a long time, Jed.
15 years, Alice. You've changed, Alice. Aye, you're a different wench now.
Aye, up and I am.
Aye, up and you are. You're a fine, handsome woman, Alice.
You're a fine-looking man, Jed.
You're a fine, handsome woman, Alice. That's what a man needs, handsome flesh. You're a fine, handsome flesh, Alice. You're a fine, handsome Alice woman.
Why did you come back, Jed?
Why? A man has feelings, Alice. Deep down, a man has feelings that he doesn't talk about.
A woman has them feelings. A woman has them feelings as well, Jed. Deep down, them feelings are, Jed. She forgets all about them feelings, and then, of a sudden, them feelings, they wells up inside of her like a flood tide.
Are them feelings welling up inside of you, Alice?
Aye, Jed. You're a fine-looking man, Jed. Strong of arm and broad of back.
Happen as how I'll just slip me boots off then.
Aye, lad.
Door is locked.
Aye, lad. We're alone.
Right then. Five. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up the ladder and down the snake.
While we're all snug and warm in bed, the ever-reliable Bobby on the beat watches over us.
You mean all? Mr. Thomas, the butcher. Securely locked. Mr. Showman, the tailor. He's all locked and bolted. Mr. Carter's pet shop. Hello, 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 hello. It's open.
Here you are now. Come along. Come out of there. It's the police. Come along. It's the police. Oh, oh dear. Oh, oh.
Let's stay with animals and pay a visit to Knotty Ash Zoo, where there's great excitement over the arrival of a giant panda.
And here at Knotty Ash Zoo, I have with me the giant panda and our own Mr. Potter, the panda expert. Mr. Potter is, at the moment, playing with our playful giant panda. Playing with him. Oh, now, Mr. Potter, how is the panda settling down? I see, yes. Well, of course, it will take time. I know that you're terribly excited over this panda, Mr. Potter, because you've gone quite red. Now blue. Now green. Mr. Potter, could you speak up, please? Mr. Potter.
Dreams are my only treasure. I have no wealth to measure. Yet when I'm dreaming, I see I'm all that I to be. Dreams may not last forever. Fly to the land of never. Dreams down a star through the sky. Catch every chance passing by. I found in many a dream things aren't as bad as they seem. So when life is cruel to you, don't cry, don't cry the whole night through. Dream, some dreams come true. So when life is cruel to you, don't cry the whole night through. Dream, some dreams come true.
For our date with chaos as we meet the world's worst. Men like Sefton Dodler, the world's worst newspaper reporter. Only this morning he phoned in with this report.
Hello, hello. Is that the news desk? Hold the front page. Chamberlain's back from Munich.
This is Wurzel Doddidge, the worst ever poultry farmer, as he tries to get his hens to lay more eggs by playing gramophone records to them.
Right then, my little darlings. Let's see if this musical record can help you to increase your output.
And guiding an aeroplane down onto the flight deck of an aircraft carrier is the world's worst radio operator.
Hello, Red Leader 2. Red Leader 2. Hold her on that course. More flaps on starboard wing. Yes, that looks good. It's okay. That's fine. Come in now.
Whilst at the number one court at the Old Bailey, counsel for the prosecution, Perry Dodson, puts the one question the defence dreads most.
Where's me shirt? Where's me shirt? Not guilty, Your Worship. Not guilty. Not about me shirt.
And always willing to help anyone in need is that chivalrous chap, Arthur Knight. And let's see what happened when Arthur was asked to be best man at a wedding.
Thank you very much. My name is Arthur Knight, and this particular frolic all began one night when I was in my rooms at Marylebone. You know, Marylebone, where they make the jelly for dog meat. My good friend Herbert had asked me to be his best man at his wedding. His intended was aptly named Nellie Biggin. What a whopper. 86, 34, 42. At least when they got married, he'd have a roof over his head. There was such a lot of arrangements to be made before the big day, so I decided to go and see the groom, Happy Herbert. He'd known Nellie all his life. When they were little, he used to carry her shaving tackle to school. How do you feel, Herbert?
I'm taking a lot on.
You certainly are.
I say, where do you think we should get married?
Is only a little fella.
Well, I've had a look at the bride. How about St. Bernard's? Here, Herbert, have you saved any money off?
Well, Nellie's got a bit behind
her. She's got a bit in front of her as well, I mean. How many cars do you think we'll need?
Oh, about six.
Six. Well, that should get Nellie down there. Now, came the great day, and we all filed into church. The bride's father arrived in a top hat. He couldn't get a taxi. The bride's family sat on one side of the aisle, and the groom's family sat on the other. It reminded me of gunfight at OK Corral.
Have you made the arrangements with the organist?
Of course I have, Mrs. He knows what to play. I gave him the music myself.
Good. Oh, look! Here comes the procession down the aisle. Here comes my lovely daughter. Here comes the bride.
The old girl wasn't half knocked. She grabbed me by the vestry. But I must admit, I found the wedding ceremony very emotional. Very emotionally. So emotionally, in fact, I was so moved by it all that I just had to sneak outside into the cloisters and have a quick burst on my banjo. By Jove, I needed that. At the reception, everything went fine. And then I got up to make me speech. Ladies and gentlemen... right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll please now give the best of order, as the best man, I would simply like to say that I hope Herbert finds as much happiness with Nellie in the future as I have in the past. No. Well, what do I mean, no? Well, tell you what, let's have a word now from the bride's father.
Romeo,
now, son, will you behave yourself? Get back onto the table.
Mummy, he's spoiled everything.
You senile old porridge eater.
What? Take that.
Oh, my flipping eye.
Clock him. I had to do something, and quick. Amongst the confusion, I grabbed the happy couple and pushed them downstairs into the waiting car. Arthur Knight to the rescue! Ha ha! My quick thinking had saved what could have been a terrible experience for that young couple. Ah, they'll be at the honeymoon hotel now, safe and all alone in the bridal suite. Ah, two shy, nervous young things on the threshold of connubial bliss. On the threshold of connubial bliss. Conjugial thingy. I wonder what Herbert is saying to his blushing bride at this very moment. What sweet nothings he's whispering to her.
I knew he'd mess things up. What a smashing honeymoon this is going to be, I don't think.
I'm not exactly overjoyed at the prospects myself.
And may all their troubles be little ones.
If I can help somebody.
Tatty bye, everybody! Tatty bye!
That was The Ken Dodd Show, and Doddy would be most grateful for any second-hand clothes. As would John Laurie, Patricia Hayes, Graham Stark, The New Faces, and Judith Chalmers. Doddy's Diddy Orchestra, leader Percy Coates, was conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script was written by Eddie Braben and Ken Dodd, and the show, which was recorded, was produced by Bill Worsley.